Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 40, Shauna Brown Moves People Towards Victory. A shout out to listeners in Georgia, United States, and particularly in Atlanta, Marietta, Lithonia, Donaldsonville, Duluth, Roswell, Woodstock, Cumming, and Toccoa. With that, let's get started. I appreciate people who are involved in technical writing and instructional design. I spent most of my career in those areas. And naturally, I appreciate Shauna Brown, who has done both of those and is currently a senior instructional designer. I would describe Shauna as a lifelong learner. She spends a lot of her time educating herself and other people, and people in her community as well. Shauna had some amazing stories that she's about to share, and I think you'll be able to relate to them quite well. Part 1. Be a victor. Often, managers end up saying the right thing at the right time to the right direct report that has a lasting impact. And a lot of the times, the manager doesn't even realize the effect that they have. They can say a simple phrase, ask a question, that has a meaningful impact that develops into a guiding principle. In this first story, Shauna shares an experience that is very much in line with that. Here's Shauna.
Since this one thing that I do want to share that was a life-changing sentence from a previous manager, I've had a series of life-changing sentences that have been given to me through just literature or speakers or people that I've come in contact with. So there are several sentences or sayings that have really like changed my way of thinking. One that stands out the most is be a victor, not a victim. Mm. This happened about 11 years ago. At the time, I was working for NCR, or had actually started working for NCR. And I don't know if you know the history behind the company transitioning from their corporate office in Dayton, Ohio to Atlanta, Georgia.
NCR is National Cash Register. Is that what is?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, National Cash Register. Correct. I was hired to work in their financial services area. I was hired as a technical writer to work to support their ATM software. So all your ATM machines that you see with the NCR logo, those are our machines or machines that I supported as far as the software, being able to create user guides and release notes and things of that nature to help the techs with new software. That transition was a very difficult transition because NCR had been in Dayton for years, and that was there where they first started. There were a lot of loyal employees with the company, but once they transitioned to Atlanta, a lot of those employees were either laid off or they chose to retire early. And then the sentiment behind that from the new leader was that they were moving the corporate office to Atlanta to work with some very smart people versus who they said they currently had. So that didn't really set a good tone for myself to come in along with other employees to help transition the work from Dayton to Atlanta. So that was just a very trying time for me to work with people who, you know, were already upset because they were either losing their jobs and they had actually been with the company since they were like 18, either like 30 or 40 years of age. And just to have that feeling that their work no longer mattered. When working with some of the employees who chose to transition to Atlanta from Dayton, I came into some difficult scenarios with getting those people to work cohesively as teammates. I remember going to my manager and saying, you know, this developer is really being difficult. I really need to get this work done. And I've tried all that I can. I just don't know what I can do. I'm so frustrated. What do you suggest? And I remember the manager, I assumed he was going to say, oh, gosh, Shauna, I'm so sorry to hear that. I understand your frustration. Let me speak with the developer. But instead, he said, Shauna, are you a victim or a victor? I need you to be a victor, not a victim. And I wasn't too receptive to that response.
I can imagine. You're like, what?
Like, did you hear what I said. I mean, this guy is really being really rude and difficult. And then I thought, oh, of course, you know, they always favor the developers over the tech writers. So still kind of in that victim mode of feeling like, oh, poor me. So I took what he said and I thought about how I could change the scenario. And I really worked on building a different relationship with this developer. I also saw other people that could support my efforts as well. I noticed that a different approach and also coming back to the developer after really learning more about the product, as opposed to expecting him to tell me everything, he also was more receptive to working with me. And then I started to get it like, oh, so instead of feeling as if I were helpless or that this is just something that's being done to me, I should have looked at that differently as more of this is a challenge, or I'm in control of this situation and in control of how I proceed going forward, and look at it as an opportunity to be victorious rather than a victim looking for someone else to solve my problems. I've taken that throughout my life. I mean, we're talking 11, 12 years later. Those words have really helped me to make sure that I don't fail. And if I do fail, that I get back up and I keep going, because these are just challenges that I need to find a way to overcome.
It's so easy, especially people who are new to corporate life, when they're starting out in an entry-level position in particular, not saying that a lot of technical writing is necessarily entry-level. I know some incredible people who have been doing it for 30 years who are really talented. That when you're new and experienced in the number of years, I could see falling into this victim role where I don't have authority over these subject matter experts that I'm supposed to rely on. And I like how you decided, what you mentioned was learning a little bit about the software, the technology. And when you went to that person again, that developer, the developer recognized, okay, this is a person who's taking real interest in the product, and that changes that developer's perspective.
Right. And that's so true. And it's amazing because I've experienced that with other developers as well. And not just developers, but people that are different types of subject matter experts. It could be a technician, or it could be the trainer that's facilitating a course that I'm also creating design work for, that people want to feel that what they're doing is not only important to them, but just as important to you. And so it is helpful to come up more prepared, like understand what you're trying to achieve, or at least have some ideal of the topic and be able to let them know that you've done your research, that you're just not looking for them to give you all the answers. And they appreciate that.
And even if you went in and say, look, I really don't know much about this, this software, I was just given to, you know, maybe you were given it the day before the day of, and say, this is so important for our customers, and just try to influence the person about how much you value that person.
True.
It seems to have an effect on the relationship and how you interact.
Yes, and that's so true.
Part two, serving others through a homeowners association. Leadership is action that focuses on others and not on yourself. It's about advancing others, serving them, and adding value to their lives rather than advancing yourself. Shauna shares a story about helping not only other people, but a whole community with unusual circumstances that led her to that point. Here's Shauna.
This story is very close to home, and it was actually something that I experienced recently, although I've had other opportunities to serve as a leader. And when people, you know, tell me, well, you have that leadership personality, or they assign me to things that require a leadership approach, you know, I'm always either surprised or I like to say reluctant. So I consider myself a reluctant leader. I also see myself as a servant leader, in the sense that I've never wanted a title. I never wanted to feel like I managed people or controlled people, but I've always had the desire to be of service, to help people. I learned that very early on through just my upbringing. My mom was the eldest of five, and she was always in that role of being of service to her siblings. I watched my grandmother be a leader in her home and a leader or example of how I should live my life. as a child. So I grew up around strong women, strong leaders. And so it, to me, it's just a natural feeling of wanting to be of service.
You've had great role models.
Yes, yes. I'm very blessed for those types of role models because things that they've shown me have really impacted how I've lived my life as well. When I was also interviewing for various jobs, there's this book called The 250 Job Interview Questions by Peter Varucki. And so he has like these zinger questions. And one of the questions is, what sort of activities or things do you do in your personal life that have given inspiration to something great in your professional life? I love that question because I think so often we separate the two. We focus on the professional life as this is our career. I do this here. And then in my personal life, you know, I'm different or I may aspire to do something else. And I always tell people that typically the way I am at work is the way I am at home. Of course, I'm more casual at home with certain things or even my language is different. I use a lot of profanity at home. I'll just be honest.
Okay, there you go.
That's an example. But at work, of course, you know, I would never do that. Typically, my approach to things, the time management skills or the desire to always want to be of service, enjoying communication with people and working together with people. I'm like that at home or at work. So this particular situation was an opportunity for me to be of service, but yet reluctantly so. And this is at home, but through the work I do in my professional life really helped to impact the success of what I was trying to do in my personal life. I had recently moved into a townhome. It was my first home that I'd ever owned. It was supposed to be a really great opportunity, but there were a lot of issues with the roofs on the homes because I was in this townhome community. The builder was horrible. We had all these issues and a new homeowner and our homeowners association, they weren't very helpful. They were very hands-off. Our property management company was horrible. So again, I could have taken the attitude of being a victim, which of course I had my little breakdown of why me, God, it's my first home.
Yeah, but that's okay. You know, it's as long as you get over it.
Right. So what I did was I tried to encourage the HOA, the board members, you know, to communicate with us, to try to help us resolve these issues. And I noticed, again, there was still this reluctance to take action. One of the neighbors was like, well, why don't you get on the board? And I'm like, no, I don't really have time. I'm trying to get a master's. You know, I'm trying to do so many things with my career. And she's like, well, change has to come from you. It's not going to come from you sending emails or trying to force them to do something they're not willing to do. And so I did. I decided to run a campaign to get on the board. And I used my technical writing and instructional design skills. I created videos to promote my campaign. It was almost like I was running for president of the United States of America.
What you just described to me, I've never heard of anyone doing for such a role. I think that is so brilliant how you're just explaining how your personal life, your professional life, those lines blur and the skills you have can affect from your personal life to your professional life. Like you're talking about your family members who were role models that helped your professional life. And here's the situation, your technical skills, your technical writing abilities has helped you work towards campaigning for this position as a board member.
Right. And I did. I actually used a lot of those skills because I created tutorial videos, how to access our online portal. I created a lot of our communications that were distributed to the community because there was no communication going on at all. There was no open transparency as to what's being done with our money or, you know, what's going on with this particular situation. So once, of course, I was hired at first as our secretary. When the other two board members got on board, they were overwhelmed by all the work that needed to be done. So they quit. So I became the sole board member. And then I ended up recruiting other board members. And so I got my other two board members there and I became the president of our board. And from that point on, you know, I did a lot of research. I took over the process of making sure that all of our bylaws and and everything was followed appropriately, because nothing was really being done. It was like, you, it's a free for all. Yeah. And I campaigned against the builders as well. But what the other thing I also wanted to do, and it became kind of like my byline or my motto, to steal from Simon Sinek, is we are better together, or better together.
Yeah.
And every time I sent out an email, I would always end it with better together. And I started promoting everyone working together. We're not victims. We can work together to solve this problem. And so I started getting them to be more engaged, the homeowners. They started, now even something as simple as picking up the trash, they would complain about the trash service was really crappy. And I'm like, well, they picked your trash up and they left some stuff on the ground. It's your home. What are you going to do about it?
Are you going to be a victim, or are you going to be a victor?
Exactly. Come on, Gary. Yeah.
I love it.
Over that course of a year and a half, you know, we resolved some of the issues with the roof concerns. We were able to bring community events, because we were a very diverse culture. So I wanted people to get along. I didn't want people to feel like, well, you know, I'm a part of this group and you're a part of that group. People weren't even talking to each other, and they live right next door. So I created community events. I also focused on the children. I wanted to make sure that they had opportunities for educational opportunities, you know, recreational opportunities. And then I built a connection with our property management company and all of our vendors. That was an opportunity for me to show leadership. Even though I was reluctant to take it on, I knew someone had to do it. But I also wanted to instill in the community that together we're better. We have to do this together and not just rely upon one person to lead you and be responsible for everything.
I never thought about this from this perspective, that someone could get on a board to, you know, a homeowners association, and they can take that position to build character among the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you went beyond the typical scope of just focusing on neighbor complaints and grass growing too tall and weeds and stuff, to developing community opportunities and educational opportunities for children. That's just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. And a lot of our community, they didn't understand the covenants. And when I first started reading them, it seemed like a lot of gibberish. It was a lot of legalese. And I worked hard to translate that into readable, understandable content, which is what I did as a technical writer. And if it required a video or a training course or some sort of job aid, I was able to create that too from my experience as an instructional designer. So I'm using all those things from my professional life in my personal life as well.
Part 3, When Together is Better. One of the leadership principles is to develop leadership practices continuously. For you to become fluent in leadership, you have to practice it regularly and monitor your effectiveness. All this is designed to help you be more fluent and be able to help more people. Shauna shares some advice that kind of falls in line with this. Here's Shauna.
My motto, and I use this on my website as well, is learn more, do more, be more. I have to give a plug to Simon Sinek again, because just reading his work just resonates with me. I don't know if you ever have felt like this, Gary, but sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm alone in my thought process. I believe this. This is how I feel about working together with people, or just, again, being a servant leader. But sometimes I don't feel as if my ideals of that resonate with the world. And in reading, just this is one book that's, I mean, it's really simple, it's illustrated, but it's so powerful in the message, Together is Better by Simon Sinek. Just reading those pages, it's like every page he gives you some sort of words of advice that resonate with me about what it is to be a good leader. A part of that is, you know, that learn more, do more, be more concept, because he encourages, you know, leaders to see themselves as students and to learn, not to be the one that always has to teach someone or to be in control, but to always constantly be a student and learn new things. He talks about, you know, having a great ideal, Okay, now you have an idea, do something with it. Don't just have a vision, being able to carry it out. And to be a good person, be a person that people want to follow, not because of you're the manager, but because they believe in you. The two things that I'd like to leave you guys with is always constantly learn. Always constantly actively do more. Once you get complacent or once you get used to something, do something else. And ultimately be more, be as great as you can be and share as much as you can with other people. That's so important. And then please read Together is Better, because I think it's excellent for all leaders to have an opportunity to read that book.
Your motto is as follows, a nice logical flow. When you learn more, you're capable of doing more. And when you do more, you're capable of being more and actually contributing more and being a positive influence in society rather than the opposite of taking away from society.
Exactly. That is so true.
My thanks to Shauna Brown. If you'd like to learn more about Shauna, go to the show notes. And if you'd like to leave a comment or ask a question, go to unlabeledleadership.com, click the message icon, and you can leave a voicemail up to 1 minute. I'd like to thank those who support the show, and your support helps with the production cost. Most importantly, I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, lead on!